titled today's message, Moving Forward. Moving Forward. And with that, I want to convey the idea that, listen, as Christians, we are either moving forward with the Lord and in the Lord, or we are moving backwards and drifting away from the Lord. There's really those only two things. You can't coast. You can't just kind of rest on your laurels. You're either moving forward or you're drifting back. And I want to encourage all of us here this morning that have a heart for God to say, I do want to move forward. I want to move farther forward than I am today. As we look back at our lives, we can see where we've come from. Thank God we're where we are today, but we know there's more work that needs to be done. So you're going to hear me say that throughout the message, moving forward. This is what I want to be in your mind and in your heart, that I am determined to move forward in my faith. Yes, doesn't mean there's not going to be questions, doesn't mean there's not going to be some things that are going to happen in life that you're not going to have the answers for at the time, but always that heart, God, I'm going to get through this with you. And that's what we're going to see in the book of Revelation. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read a book and been unable to put it down? Do books still exist? I mean, for some of you, do you ever read your iPad and just can't stop reading the pages? And you can't wait to get to the next section, chapter after chapter, unable to stop reading because you want to know what's going to happen next. Well, that's what happened to me as an early Christian when I began to read the book of Revelation. I began to read the pages and I just could not stop. And I'm not an avid reader. I don't read a lot. I don't read quickly. But I could not put this book down. As I read it, I think I read it within a few hours. And what really that spoke to my heart is that, listen, though I may not understand completely everything that this book is telling me about, I knew in my heart, I knew in my spirit, there are some significant things going on in this book. And I want to know what they are. And so I studied and I read. The book of Revelation caught my attention and held on to my attention. And so I'm hoping and praying that that's what it's going to be like for all of us this morning, that as we begin to read, that you're going to get caught up in the context. You're going to get caught up in the truths and in the promises that are in this book, and you're going to want to read it. In fact, I would encourage you all, read ahead. You know, I don't go very fast, so you can read a whole chapter and be thoroughly equipped for a Bible study that I'm going to teach you. But read it. Get it inside of you. I remember, again, as an early Christian, knowing where the pastor would go, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, to read ahead. So equipped me and so equipped the Holy Spirit in my heart to really open up the scriptures to me. So I encourage you to read ahead and to fall in love. I hope you go home tonight and start to read it and you read the whole thing. And then read it again and then read it again. Get it in your heart. Revelation is different than any other book of the Bible. Some people say it's the prophetic book of all prophetic books. It is the crown of prophecy. And it's one that speaks mostly of future events. It reveals to us the end times and what they will be what they will be like just prior to Christ's return. And so, as a bit of history, if you'd give me a moment, I just want to give you a sign of a background as we get into the book, who the writer is, what we're looking at, what happened. The author is the Apostle Paul. Says that right in verse 1, that he gave the message to John. That's John the Apostle, okay? John the Apostle, the writer of the Gospel of John, and also the writer of the three epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He wrote Revelation in 95 AD on the island of Patmos. And we'll see that later in this chapter. He was the last living apostle of all the apostles. He was the only of the 12 apostles that died a natural death. The rest died all as martyrs. Historians tell us that the Roman Emperor Domitian, who reigned from 81 AD to 96 AD, hated Christianity, just like his predecessor, Nero. Hated Christianity, wanted to wipe it out. And Domitian hated Christianity so much and found out that John was teaching the gospel in Ephesus, actually had him brought to Rome, and actually, number one, tried to feed him poison. He didn't die. Number two, I don't know if you know this or not, they tried to boil him in oil. He did not boil. The oil did, but John did not. Think about that for a minute. Now, you're not going to find it in your Bibles. It is historians that tell us that this is what happened during those days. Can you imagine being put into boiling? If you've ever been splattered by oil, it's not like you're getting splattered by hot water, is it? It burns and it continues to burn. John did not boil. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. God had anointing upon him. God wanted him to go to Patmos and to write this letter. And I just want to encourage all of us here this morning that no matter the odds that are before us, no matter the things that come against us, if God is going to do something in your life, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. They can try to boil you in oil. It so reminds me in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being put in the fiery furnace. It said the flames didn't touch them. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. It's just amazing to me. It reminded me of Daniel going into the lion's den, that the God shut the mouths of the lions. Paul, when he got bit by a poisonous snake, didn't affect him. Do we have that kind of commitment to God to say, no matter what happens in my life, God, your will is going to be done? Think about it, guys. What are you going up against? Is it a financial struggle? Is it a work struggle? Is it a relational struggle? What is it that's coming up against you? Listen, be committed to God. Was John anybody special other than God chose him? I don't think so. He had a heart for the Lord. So have a heart for God and see what he will do with you. If God wants to use you, there's nothing that can stop you. I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to go forward with God no matter what? No matter the circumstances, even against impossible odds. Some of you might be thinking, man, tomorrow I'm going to be going into some boiling oil, and I'm not looking forward to it. But go with God, and you won't be harmed. The word revelation is translated unveiling. It is basically the Holy Spirit pulling back the curtains of the book of Revelation, looking into heaven, seeing Christ upon his throne, giving us the privilege of seeing the glorified Christ. Now, I have Daniel on my mind. That's because we're doing Daniel Bible study on Sunday, or on Wednesdays, sorry. Daniel was told in the last chapter of his book, we'll get to it this Wednesday, that it says in Daniel 12:4, it'll be up overhead, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. When Daniel was given his book, God said, seal it up, close it up. It's not the time, Daniel. It's not the time for anyone. No one's going to understand these things. And those of you that have gone through Daniel with us, we realize that God gave Daniel some visions of things of history that were yet to come in Daniel's life. And so they were not exposed until later, until our day where we can look back on the book of Daniel and realize these things happened just as God said them. Conversely, contrastingly, the book of Revelation in the last chapter, verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 10, and he said, and he said to me, being John, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Daniel, seal it up. John, you leave it open, man. People need to read this. People need to know this. People need to understand it because the time is at hand. Do you believe this morning that the time is at hand? Do you believe that the things are set up for the return of Jesus Christ today? Yes, we see the signs. We see the things that are written in this book. And as we study it, we're going to be going, oh my goodness, these things are happening. And so we as believers moving forward in the Lord are confident in his return and expecting his return, not fearful of it. Listen, I understand, again, the first time I read Revelation, there were some things I was like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. That's pretty serious. But if God says it, it's going to happen. And that's what we need to know, my friends. Moving forward, let's have that heart. Let's look at the first verse of the book of Revelation. Verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book titles itself, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Three verses I want to talk about this morning as we get started in the book of Revelation. Again, moving forward. We see the Bible tells us that it titles itself the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know if some of your Bibles might have at the top the revelation of John. Sorry to say, that's not accurate. It's the unveiling, it's the revealing, it's the uncovering of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And we see that in the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, which is Jesus, to show his servants. I want you to realize that this book is telling you right from the beginning, God gave this word to Jesus to give to his servants. Who's the servants? We are. This book is written to you. This book is written for you. He did this. It wasn't something that he wanted to hide. He wanted you to know what was going to happen so you'd be aware of it. We need to focus in on what God is saying here. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that's going to kind of be our plumb bob, if you will, or our plumb line, that are we always being revealed of Jesus Christ is being revealed to us during this book? Because we can get caught off. We can get pulled away, and we're not focusing on Jesus in these things. Ephesians 1:17 says this, and I love this verse, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This was Paul's prayer for the church of Ephesus, that God would grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of him. Wisdom. I love this word, wisdom. It's the capacity to understand and to act wisely. Does anybody in here want any wisdom? Godly wisdom? The ability to understand and to act wisely. If we're going to move forward, we need to act wisely. We need to understand what these things are saying, and we need to be prepared and be able to move forward. We all need wisdom. If you're going to move forward, you need wisdom. And then the revelation, that's the unveiling of the knowledge of him, the unveiling of who Jesus is. Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember the moment that you invited the Lord into your heart? That was the moment that Jesus was revealed to you. That's when the veil came off and you realized you needed a Savior. That you finally came to that place and said, I'm a sinner. And God sent Jesus, his son. Oh, my friends, this is going to be a rich book. Because God gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to his angel. And if you want to, in the side, you know, that angel could be Gabriel. And then Gabriel gave it to John. And then John penned it down so that it would come to you and I. The revelation of Jesus Christ for us, for the saints. God wants you to know Bible prophecy. Does that word, do those words scare anybody? Bible prophecy. I remember when we had a prophecy conference not too long ago in Calvary Chapel, Rivergate. Someone came up to me and says, well, I don't understand this prophecy stuff. And isn't that true? The word prophecy can be really a taboo word in the church today. In Christian circles, prophecy, are you going to foretell the future? No. God already foretold the future. We just want to know what it is. Bible prophecy means we know what the things are going to happen in the end. God wants you to understand Bible prophecy, and he does not want you to be in the dark about Bible prophecy. Most Christians know more about world news than they do about Bible prophecy. More people know about pop culture than they know about Bible prophecy. Music. You fill in the blank. There's stuff in our world that we know more about than Bible prophecy. We're believers. We're followers in Jesus Christ. We need to know these things if we are going to move forward, if we're truly going to be a part of it. Now, listen. There's nothing wrong with those things I just listed. My wife loves pop culture. She'll bring up some fact, and I'll be like, where did you even get that? Why is it even taking room in your brain? She loves that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. But she also has a love for God. And so we need to make sure that we balance these things, that our focus isn't so heavy into the things of this world, but heavy in the things of God. I'm trying to build a hunger in you to desire the things that are written in this book, things which must shortly take place. You think about when John wrote this in 95 AD, and he wrote that, things that must shortly take place. I think John was going, it's going to happen any moment. Sure, the early church believed that. We believe that, don't we? When it talks about these things are going to shortly take place, it doesn't mean from the moment he wrote it. It means that once these things start, it's going to go quickly. When the end comes, when Jesus returns, the end is going to happen quickly. And we need to be prepared for that, my friends. But notice, if you will, that he gives this letter to John. And in verse 2 it says, who bore witness to the word of God. Think about this for a minute. I don't know about you people that remember your dreams. You're weird. I have a hard time remembering my dreams. You're not weird, I'm kidding. But think about this. If you're one of those people that remembers your dreams very vividly and you could probably write a book about a dream you had the night before, that's what is happening in John. But John is literally seeing these things in the heavenly realms. He is witnessing Jesus Christ. Not only did he see Jesus alive, but he's also witnessing him in his glorified state through the book of Revelation as God is revealing this to him. John is witness to it. He saw these things and he's conveying these things to us. He did the same thing in his gospel. He says, I bore witness to the things of Christ and I'm sharing those things with you. What a blessing it is to us to know that he saw these things and he's communicating them to us so that we'll know them and be able to communicate them to others. Are we equipped to communicate these things to others? Do we know enough about God's character to share with someone who's going through a difficulty that they can trust in God? Do we have that confidence in the Lord? When we hear about somebody who just lost their job, just happened this week, someone in our church lost their job. Do we all, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh, the end is here. No, what do we do? God's got a plan. We're going to come together. We're going to pray. And to hear the person who just lost their job said, it's in God's hand. They know the character of God. They know how much God loves them. And so they're relying upon him. And that's what John was doing. As he was seeing these things, he was a witness to the word. He was a testimony to Jesus Christ. He's saying, I absolutely saw these things, and the things that were given to him, he's going to convey to us. Verse 3 is really where I want to focus the rest of our time. Because this is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to you just by reading it. Did you hear what I just said? Just by reading this book, you are going to be blessed. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he who reads this book. Do you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. And if the Bible says, blessed is he who reads it, and those who hear it, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near, then we want to be blessed. We don't want to do anything in our lives, I hope, to hinder any blessings that God has for us. So wouldn't you think if you avoided the book of Revelation, you'd be avoiding a blessing from God? I don't want that. I want all the blessings that God has for me. And so what I want to do is focus in on these blessings. Notice it says, blessed is he who reads. I'm reading it to you, so I'm already blessed. You're hearing me read it to you, so you're already blessed. Isn't this great? We're already blessed. But notice it says, and keeps the things which are written in it. I want you to walk away today remembering these three words. Read, hear, and keep. Read, hear, and keep. This is why I want to encourage you to read ahead in the book of Revelation, because you're going to be blessed by reading it. You're going to be blessed by hearing it as I teach it. And then you're going to be blessed by keeping the things that are written inside these pages. That's moving forward. Because when tragedy hits, who feels like moving forward? When difficulties happen, we just want to sit back and go, man, I just want to sulk in my sorrow right now. Because life is not good. Life is tough. Read, hear, and keep. Now, when we read something, maybe you're that type of person, when you read something, you remember it. I got to read things a couple times before it really gets into my heart. And at TriStar, my wife's company, she has this manual. It's called Culture Training, and I photocopied one of the pages in it. I don't think it was copyrighted. I think she let me do it. And it talks about this idea of information retention. Maybe you've ever seen this before. It's going to be overhead as well. I want to try and get out of the way. Information retention. Here we go. The first one is 10% of what you read, you will remember. 10% of what you read. 20% of what you hear. So already I'm at a pass here. I was like, you're only going to remember 20% of the stuff I say. That's pretty sad. 30% of what you see. That's why I'm putting it up there. See? You're reading it, you're hearing it, and you're seeing it. I'm trying to up the odds. 50% of what you see and hear, you will remember. 70% of what you say, as it was in you, it came out of you. And then notice this, 90% of what you see, say, and do. Read, hear, and keep the things that are in this book. I want you to remember these. I want this information retention to stay in your heart. And in order to do that, you just can't come on Sundays and listen to me and then walk away. Because what? You're only going to remember 20% of what you hear. So we need to focus in on these things and allow these things to happen. Jesus said it this way. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. Jesus was, he was probably the one that authorized this study. Blessed are those who hear the words of God and keep them. See, it's no good for us to be just a Christian with a lot of information, a Christian with a lot of facts, although that can be good. But we must live out what we believe. We must act out what we're doing if we're going to move forward. Paul says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That we would hear what God has to say. That our ears would be in tune to what the Spirit speaks to us. This, my friends, is moving forward. You know what it's like when you get a letter from someone? Anybody get letters anymore? Maybe it's an email, a text message, these types of things. It blesses you because that person writes to you something that is meaningful to you, right? Something just encourage you or just say, hey, I was thinking about you, I was praying about you. Doesn't that bless your heart when you get something like that? Or maybe a birthday card or anniversary card and you're reading, go, wow, they were thinking about me during my special day. It blesses your heart, right? Well, for Lou and I, in these last seasons of our lives, dealing with all the animal issues that we have and the struggles, it's been such a blessing for different people in the body to send flowers, to send cards, to encourage us through texts and through emails. It just blesses us. It helps us get through a difficult time. It helps us get through a tough season. Because without that, really, we get to the place as Christians, and we're mature Christians, we get to the place of like, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? This hurts my heart. It hurts my life. What is it to God to save a small 3-pound dog? Those are the questions that go through our minds. Now, if we're that concerned about a dog, how much more are you concerned about your relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your spouse or your job? How much more does that weigh down when things don't go well in your life? It's like, God, couldn't you have allowed me to work a little bit longer to help pay my bills? You know my financial situation. So we as Christians sometimes get to the place where we go, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand. And that's where we have to make sure that we come to this place that we encourage each other in our times of difficulties. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, all the encouraging words, seeing you on Sunday saying, hey, we've been praying for you and we're sorry for what you've gone through. Gosh, I'm always asking God, remind me of people that need to be encouraged. Remind me of those ones who are hurting, God, so that I can be there for them because I know you are. Because quite honestly, it comes down to this. Either we're going to believe God and trust in him, or we're going to get off this path. We're going to give up. None of us wants to give up. None of us wants to get to that place where we go, Lord, it's just not enough. No. We want to be committed to the things of God. So this letter is telling you it's going to be a blessing if you read it, if you hear it, if you keep it. Read it so it gets in you. Hear it. To me, the hearing means you're going to begin to understand it. You're going to be understanding because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Remember when the pastor read this? Remember when you read verse 3? It said you're going to be blessed this week if you hear what it says, if you read what it says, if you keep what it says. Because in the first few chapters, we're going to be directly to 7 different churches that Jesus is going to speak specifically to. And we need to make sure that we're looking at going, is Jesus speaking that to our church? Is Jesus speaking that to my life? Am I compromising here? Am I not doing those things? Am I being religious? So we need to read it, we need to hear it, and then we need to do it. I believe with all my heart that if we're committed to going through this book and committed to doing the things that God wants us to do in this book, we're going to see a change in our church. We're going to see a change because we're willing to do what needs to be done, even though it may be hard. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul was sitting here today? The Apostle Paul, if he knew that our Bibles had verse numbers, chapter breaks, if he knew that there was areas in here with like little footnotes with cross references, you mean you didn't have to memorize where it was? I think about that. All the things that we have, Bible dictionaries, commentaries, all of these things, Paul would go, why is the whole world not saved? Wouldn't you think? With all that we have, sometimes I feel we have too much. Because we have all these things for the Word, certainly, but we have all these other distractions in our lives as well. What other distractions do you have in your life that are keeping you from moving forward, that are keeping you from the blessings of God? What is keeping you out of the Bible? What is keeping you from doing a devotion? Is it waking up late? Is it being too tired at night? What is it? What is it that's keeping you from the very thing that will bless your life? See, only you can answer those questions. This, my friends, is considered an unconditional promise. This is considered a conditional promise. There are unconditional promises in the Word of God. Listen to me. You are entitled to those promises, these unconditional promises, just simply because you are a follower in Jesus Christ. Right? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That is an unconditional promise. That God loves you, and we talked about this last week, that there's nothing you can do to stop you, stop God from loving you. He just loves you. That's an unconditional promise. And it's a great reminder when you're feeling like you don't love yourself. Well, at least God loves me. That's unconditional. But a conditional promise is here in this book right now. Blessed is he who reads and who hears and who keeps the things written in this book. That's conditional. You're not just going to be blessed by it because you're a Christian. No, you got to be blessed by it because you're going to read it and you're going to hear it and you're going to understand it. Conditional. It's available to you. It's there for you. Are you going to go get it? Are you going to go get it? Say goodbye to Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 also gives to us some conditional promises. If we do certain things, we'll get certain things in return. Proverbs 3:1 says this, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." There's that word keep again. "For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Do you see the promise there? If you don't forget my law and you keep my commandments, you'll have length of days and long life, and peace will be yours. Who's to know? Who's to know if by us being obedient to God, that he doesn't just, I'll give him a few more years on this world. I'll give him a few more years on this planet. Who's to know our time? We don't know. God only knows. And so here's a conditional promise that if we keep the word of God, just like it says in Revelation, then we're going to have a fruitful life, a life that's filled with joy and excitement and value. Verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Another promise, conditional. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him." And what's he going to do? He'll direct your path. We all love that verse, right? Well, we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. See, I can trust God with a lot of things in my life, but sometimes there's things where, Lord, are you going to do it in this? Can I trust you in this? You did it last time. Are you going to do it again? Let me tell you, it's hard for me as a pastor that God did an amazing miracle in my life, to pray for more miracles in my life. Do you understand? The human side of me says, I think I'm out of miracles. You did a pretty big one. But the spirit side of me says, but God, you're God, and you go above and beyond. And so if there's blessings in your life, don't feel like God says, okay, you've gotten enough. He has unconditional and unlimited blessings to give to you. And he wants to give those things to you, but there must be some obedience. Do you understand what I'm saying? Conditional promises. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That doesn't just happen by you convincing yourself. It happens by you getting around other people that will help you understand that God has great value upon your life. And don't lean on our own understanding, which is limited anyway. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, for the fear of the Lord, or fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health for your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, okay, and with the first fruits of all your increase, okay, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. If we're faithful to God, if we're committed to the things of God, saying, God, these are yours, these belong to you, then he's going to take care of us. Your bills are going to get paid. Everything's going to be taken care of. And I just want to read these last two verses because these are great. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. When God corrects you, when God slaps you upside the head, if you will, it's because he loves you. He doesn't want you to hurt yourself. Just like any parent would do that for their child, they would tell them, don't do that, stop doing that. No, you can't have that. We put donuts out there just to see how many parents would give them to their kids in the morning. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm kidding. Trust me, I wanted to take one from one of the kids. Say, hey, you got two. Oh, see, listen, the thing is, God loves us so much, and God loves you so much that he wants to keep you in his will. And as your pastor, I love you so much that I want you to be obedient to the Word of God. Not just Revelation, the entire Word of God. Everything that those promises are written in this book. And so I feel compelled to encourage you, move forward. If you've been falling back, if you've been kicking back, backsliding, stop. Get back up. Say, Lord, I'm going to begin to move forward with you today. As much as my heart doesn't want it, as much as my spirit feels defeated, I'm going to move forward with you. But we're going to have to read, we're going to have to hear, and we're going to have to keep God's word. The Bible says to those who love God and look for his return, we'll get a crown. We'll get a crown, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's turn there. Our final stop. First Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to pick up in verse 24. Anybody in this room run the half marathon, full marathon yesterday? Nice and high. Only one? Full? Half. Oh, full? Half. In Louisville, okay. Hour and 31, is that what I heard? Dude. Amazing, amazing. Wish I was there with you. Look at this verse. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Paul says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Running in a race, running in a marathon, it's only the first few that get across that get the crown. Just a few. And Paul is saying, I want you to run your Christian life. I want you to move forward in such a way that you're going to get it, that you're going to get that prize. And he says, but listen, those who run in a race on the earth, in this world, are doing it for a temporary crown, right? Who remembers who won the Boston Marathon 5 years ago? Isn't that sad? Somebody won the Boston Marathon 5 years ago, and we don't remember. That's a perishable crown. Why? Because there's another Boston Marathon coming up, and that's the one we're focusing on. And that's what God is saying. Listen, you're striving in this world for stuff in this world for a crown that has no eternal value. And he's saying, I want you to run in such a way that you get the imperishable crown, that your life is going to cross the finish line and it's going to be well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your crown. Thank you, Lord. This one is going to last forever. Here's the reality. Though we may not all run a marathon or a half marathon, we're all running a marathon now. Our Christian life is a marathon. We're running it. How are we doing? And listen, the beautiful thing about this race is it's not you against anybody. You're running your own race all by yourself. There's nobody else there. And there's one fan, Jesus Christ, on the sideline encouraging you to keep on going. He's encouraging you to read, to hear, and to keep the word of God. He who loves me keeps my commandments. I don't want you to get to the finish line with a bunch of perishable crowns and say, look at all that I've done in this world, God. Look at whatever. And God goes, it's all worth for nothing. The crown that's going to last forever is the one I'm going to give to you for the things that you've done, the obedience that you've had in your life. Are we willing to be obedient? Are we willing to move forward by doing what God tells us, by hearing it, by reading it, by hearing it, and by keeping it? Are we willing to do those things? I want you this week to just keep repeating that to yourself. I need to read, I need to hear, and I need to keep. What does God want you to keep this week? What is it that God wants, a promise in his word that he wants you to keep this week that you haven't been keeping? Is it trust in him? Is it faithfulness in him? Is it obedience to a certain area in your life? Is it a relationship he wants you to deal with? He wants you to do it. And if you do it, there's a blessing there that comes from it. Let's all get across the finish line. Let's all get to that place where God gives us his crown. And then you know what we do with those crowns? We throw them at his feet because he's worthy, not us. When we get across that finish line, it's going to be because he gets us there, because he is the one that sustains us. This last thought, Revelation, the book of Revelation should not be something that we enter into fearfully, hesitantly, or cautiously. This book we need to enter into excited, motivated, and encouraged that God is going to show us what's going to happen in the days to come. We already know what's happening. I want you to know so that you can tell that coworker who's having a hard time. The Lord's coming back. He's coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's do this thing. May this be the book of Revelation, may this be the book in your life that you can't put down, that you can't stop reading it, that it just grabs you and grabs your heart and holds on to you as you read through it. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit would show us things in this book that we need to hear. And to show us that there's certain areas of our life that need to be adjusted or encouraged. Let's do this. Let's move forward. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that as we now know, as we enter this book, that there are blessings to be had. My prayer, our prayer, Lord, that we wouldn't miss not one blessing. Not one. We pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us these truths in a very simple way. And I pray for those in this room that maybe are hesitant about reading this book, fearful even. But Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged now by you, that there is such treasure in these scriptures to be found, to be discovered. and that you willingly put these things here for us so that we would know, that we know that we know, that you're going to fulfill your purposes in our lives and in this world. And God, I would ask that you would help us all to read, to hear, and to keep the things that are written in your entire book. Bless our lives, God, not because we deserve it. Bless our lives because you love to bless us. And may you receive all the glory and all the honor. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.